What Nick Cummins actually looks like is a photo of everyone's dad from the 60s or 70s.
I'm not being crass, but he has an erection. There's wood.
Why did you have to take it there?
But it's true.
In the back of my mind, I've got Mum chirping away going, make sure you find yourself a nice Sheila. Let's go.
Well, you know what? Let's go back in time today. Let's go back in time and hear more information from a woman who's been there, bought the postcard on The Bachelor.
Yeah, because we're digging down. We're mining down into the badger's den now. Mm-hmm. We've got like a tool, and we are burrowing deep.
Yes.
Deep, deep, deep beyond where badgers go.
The tool is called a digger.
It's a digger, and we're going down there. And today we chat to Heather Maltman, Sarah, mm-hmm. as you said. And we're going to be asking her all the behind-the-scenes stuff, but more in terms of like how much it screws with your emotions.
Oh, yes.
Because she went through the ringer, didn't she? She was humiliated, mm-hmm. rejected on national television.
So Heather, it's about coming up to the anniversary of her
rejection
3 years ago. She was on Sam Wood's Year of the Bachelor, who of course ended up with Shnazana. They've since had a bub, so that's been a very happy ending for them.
Yes.
And we wanted to check in with Heather.
Yes, we did.
Here we go.
We're burrowing.
Jackhammering. Mining down.
Into the den. Into the den we go.
Help us.
Get a shovel.
Now, Heather made it all the way through to hometown visits.
Yes.
And then the journey
got brutally
ended.
Dumped.
She got your words, not ours, Heather.
Oh,
hello.
Mate, it was
how's
brutal.
It going?
Oh, look, you know, I'm good now, but earlier. Really well, really excited. What are we talking about today? What's happening?
Well,
what are we doing?
We want to pick your brain.
Because it's basically 3 years ago this week, I think, that all of this happened with you when you were, I mean, I don't like to use the word rejected, but that's what it was.
On
The Bachelor. I'm sorry.
She's going
I'm
there.
I'm sorry. And this is where this season is heading, where we're whittling down the women and hometown visits are going to be coming up. And I guess we want to hear from somebody who's been on the inside who can give us the way of the land and let out some little state
industry
secrets.
Secrets. What does it feel like to be in that final four for hometown dates, Heather?
Okay, how does it feel? That's an interesting question. It's incredibly nerve-wracking. I don't know what it's like for the other girls, obviously, because they actually, you know, we're all sort of clumped into a house together before we actually go on any dates with the said suitor. But what they do is just before home visits, they actually split you all up. So you cannot have contact with anyone else whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea what the other girls went through when they were setting up their home visits with him. But for me, it was really daunting because I didn't have any family to introduce him to.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, so my sister and I at the time, we weren't in each other's lives and we have an on-again, off-again relationship. It's quite intense, actually. And then my delicious mother, who I love very dearly, my birth mother, she's like proper batshit crazy. So she's actually she's in housing in Orange currently, so that's a bit of fun. And my father had passed away, I think, like 6 or 7 years earlier to that. So yeah, I was like, oh cool, so I'm just going to introduce him to nobody. And then my lovely mentor Warwick stepped in and he was like, look, I'll meet this kid and see whether or not he's
that's
actually worthwhile.
Right. Yeah, that Warwick, was cool. He was a legend.
On like a property right somewhere around in Queensland, and yeah, that was I really enjoyed that part of the show because it was the only hometown visit that felt real, like as opposed to like beautiful staged homes on the water in Noosa. Like there are some seasons where it's like, is that really your family? Is that really your house? Whereas yours felt super authentic and
So you're separated from the other women at that stage of the show. Do you ever get back together after hometown visits and then you can sort of
compare notes?
No, or do you separate you completely for the rest of the time that you're on the show. You're completely separated from each other and you're not sort of able to discuss things anymore. And I think
how does that happen now with mobile phones and everything, Heather? Like, wouldn't you be on Insta? Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah. No, everything's confiscated from you and you are given a minder, kind of like a random parent who's only maybe a few years older than you.
Yeah.
And they get to tell you where and when and why you're doing things. And basically, if they don't give you any information, you just sit in a room and you wait. And sometimes they actually put you up in hotels so that you're unable to communicate with anyone else at all. And they won't actually let you say, go out to a park or go get a coffee or anything. You are completely in lockdown.
Quarantine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like you've got SARS or something.
Yeah,
it's,
right.
It's quite frightening.
I was actually in Singapore when there was SARS. Did you know that?
Oh, that's a bit of fun. I actually travelled just after that got released.
Look at you two chicks talking about bonding over bird flu.
Okay, so take us to the moment in your hometown date. Your feelings at that time for the suitor of the season, which was Sam, were palpable. They were real, I'm taking. And when he came to visit your people, your friends and family, was there any sign at all, Heather, that you weren't going to be progressing? Were there any tip-offs?
Yes.
Oh, there was?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the whole day it was awkward AF.
Okay,
First of all, I'd said to him before we even did home visits, I was like, look, I don't have any family to introduce you to, like, off air. I was like, just so you know, I don't have anyone to introduce you to. It's very awkward for me. Mm-hmm. So if you could do me a huge favor, if you're not interested in me, could you just give me the boot early? Just because I don't want to go through that on TV. It's too embarrassing. And he was like, yeah, cool. I understand. Next minute. And I get it. I mean, ratings bonanza. They get all the moments, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And did they ever? But on the actual day, so we arrived in Queensland, and at first they wanted me to do this weird staged thing in Sydney. The producer was like, it'd be great, we'll do it in Sydney. And I'm like, what the am I going to do in Sydney? Like,
yeah.
I live there, sure. I've lived there for 12 years, but I don't know anyone really down there. I mean, I have a few close friends and family sort of that I've created myself, but nah, mate. So I took him to Eagle Bay of all places, which is basically like, it's like the Bronx of Queensland. It's like the dregs of the dregs. And I was like, this will be cool. Oh, man, I'll really win him over with this. So I took him to a BMX bike park. I think that's really where we hit an all-time low. And we rode around.
What was the vibe at that point?
Oh, it was proper awkward. He's like, he's just sort of looking at me like, why are we here? And I'm like, I don't know, because I've got nothing else to do with you, bro.
But you still really liked him at that stage, didn't you?
Oh, massively. Oh, so into him. I was just like, I don't know, because when we first met, we had such a great chat.
You did.
And I think I just kept holding on to that, but I knew pretty early on that he wasn't really interested, but I just kept thinking, maybe if I do this, and I did that typical needy girl shit where you're like, if I just show him how great I am and if I just make him laugh a little bit more, he might want to marry me. And it's like, no, you're just proper desperate and now you may as well end up on Tinder.
But at this point, though, if he's taken you through to hometown, even though you've given him a trap door, you would be easily you'd be forgiven for going, well, maybe he does have feelings for me and maybe he does need to sort them out. I would have done exactly what you did.
I know, but I think where he gave it away was when we were on the drive from Brisbane after I'd taken him to Mount Coota and showed him where I spread my dad's ashes, illegally, by the way. And then, I mean, what? No, of course I got permission. And then drove him down to the bike track. When we were in the car on the way down, the producer said, now's your opportunity to say anything to him that you want to off air and explain why you're going to this, you know, downtrodden housing commission area of drugs and mayhem. I was like, great, let's do that. In the car, he would not look at me, talk to me. He was joking around with the guy that was driving us down. I was like, this is not going well. And then when I got to the property with Warwick, I managed to find a bit of time when they weren't rolling and I didn't have a mic on, and I just burst into tears. And I just said to Warwick, I was like, I've got a really bad feeling that he's just not that into me, and I don't even know why it's gone this far. And he was so, you know, Warwick wisdom, you know, so good about it. And he's like, everything's a journey, half pint, you know, everything's a journey and you just got to take it as it comes. And I was like, yeah.
So you knew at that point that you were brown bread.
Yeah.
And you still, you were committed to the process of that production process of the show. So you knew what lay ahead. That must be, oh God,
it's hard because they tell you that it's in your head. Like the producers, mm-hmm. they're like, no, he likes you. You'll regret it if you walk away because you're going to get into that rose ceremony and he'll be devastated if you leave and you can't take it back if you don't take a rose and blah, blah, blah. And it just, you're so emotional and so, you know, kept away from everything else going on in the world that you're not really thinking straight. You're kind of in this weird little fishbowl world. So it's really hard to know which way is up. But also I figured, you know, what's the worst that can happen? I get in that room. It turns out I am right, that he really wasn't that into me. And, you know, I go against everything I trust. All it's going to do is teach me a really big lesson that the producers were wrong and that he's not that into me. And don't take boys to the BMX bike track. I mean, that's a lesson all of us girls can take.
So, Heather, obviously filming finishes well before an episode goes to air and you have to keep your trap shut about, you know, knowing that you haven't received a rose or what have you. How long do you have to keep things a secret for? Like, did you know who had already won that season well and truly before it went to air? Or how long do you have to not talk about your season in your contract? Is it a full year afterwards that you can't talk about it?
Yeah, good question. So a couple of good answers in there for you on that one. So it's usually a 3-month period, 2 to 3 month period.
Mm-hmm.
They've got you on a 6-month contract before the show finishes filming, and then they've got a 6-month proviso thereafter. So pretty much for the full year, they own your ass.
Okay.
And in that 3-month period between you getting potentially, I mean, some girls obviously longer. My period between leaving the show and it going to air was about 3 months. And people finding out, I think I found out about 2 weeks, 3 weeks before we started filming that he'd picked Snejana. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Because every time they walked into a cocktail party, it was like, oh, Mum and Dad are here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so we were going to ask that. Did you know? Yeah. Did you all get together and kind of have dibs on who was the front runner?
I didn't, because I found that whole process very odd. I know a lot of the girls did, but I think they were the ones that didn't really have feelings for him.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was so invested and really thought he was into me, I kind of didn't really get involved in any of that competition-y type stuff, because it made it really awkward and kind of hurt a bit to think of it that way. And I didn't even really like saying who won, you know? Like, I got really weird about all that stuff.
Did you experience any jealousy?
Oh, are you kidding? Oh, my God. Okay, there was one weekend in the house where one of the girls got, and I won't say which one it is because it's just not worth it. She got all the other girls. She convinced them all to stop talking to me for the entire weekend. There was another fight that happened 3 weeks later where one of the girls confronted two of the girls who were like, you know, they're kind of like the misfits of the house, but kind of a bit popular at the same time. She confronted them about some stuff that they were saying about her behind her back. It turned into a huge blow up. I was in the kitchen reading a book and eating crackers, and all I could hear was, "You don't fucking talk to me like that. No, you get out of my face. You get out." And it was just like screaming at each other. And all of a sudden this girl just walks in like a whirlwind, tears down her face, red, like, I couldn't believe it. She was like completely beside herself. And I was like, "You okay?" And she's like, "She's just threatened to hit me. She's a psycho man." And I'm like, "Yeah, cool. I'm going to get back into this book here."
So with the producers, did the producers kind of separate you from all that? We had a chat with Kira Maguire last week, and she said the producers definitely, you know, manipulate situations, I suppose. And Lise and I were mad fans of Unreal, the television show that provides a bit of fictional insight into the behind-the-scenes workings of
reality shows.
You know, how tight are you with the producers, and did you stay in touch with them afterwards? Because I guess you get pretty close, right?
Yeah, I'm still in touch with some of the producers. I love them. We got along really well, but I think that's because I come from a filming background. So I could see pretty quickly when they were trying to manipulate me into doing something I didn't want to do.
Yeah, right.
But part of the problem there is I'm not a dick, you know?
Yes.
So I'm not interested in being mean to people. I'm not interested in causing fights or doing any of that. And I don't really like judging people. It's like, I'm happy to make fun of situations, but I don't really like making fun of people. And it's actually, that way of being and acting has actually been a real struggle for me in radio, because I don't like making fun of people, and I find that whole dynamic in radio very strange and a bit hard to overcome. Mm. So on the show, like, you know, when they were trying to ask me to say something bitchy or
you didn't make fun,
no, I was like, I'm not into that. I'm sorry, guys, it's not going to happen. And so instead, I was like, look, I'll give you something, but it won't be that.
Mm.
So instead, you know, I'd make fun of the situation, or I'd, you know,
make
take
fun
a piece
of
out
yourself.
Of myself.
But I think that's why the audience loved you so much. I mean, I remember gunning for you so hard in that season. You were one of my faves, and devastation when you didn't get it, and everyone was like, not Heather, you know?
Yeah, I think I remember the moment.
You were the nice girl, the nice funny girl.
Yeah, I think I can pinpoint the moment where he had friend zoned you, and I was gutted, because it was, you know, we were all in denial because it had gone from, oh my God, they're potentially soulmates, to oh God, she's just been friend zoned. You know,
everyone wants the nice girl to get ahead, right?
Yeah. Now, just another question we have before we wrap up is: you were obviously known to be an actress, an actor on the outside. You had been quite transparent about that. Now, in this particular season, we saw with the likes of Romy.
I know what you're going to ask me. I already know what you're going to ask me.
Well, I don't even know what I'm going to ask you. So go ahead, ask yourself the question.
Are you going to ask me about this comment that Romy made that she was a paid actor on the show or something, or if it's
possible? Well, but then I think she corrected herself.
She corrected herself.
I reckon she may have tried to do that as a cover.
Yeah,
Channel 10
probably said, no, you need to correct the fact that you were an actor in the house.
You're still looking for love.
A set amount while you're in there, right? Because you're ditching your day jobs.
Yeah, you get paid $90 a day basically to cover your bills and things like that, so that you can actually exist in another location for a certain period of time without any contact with the outside world. That's it. So everyone gets $90 a day.
So how were you scouted? How were you cast to that season? How are these girls? How do they find these girls? Can you briefly talk us through that? Because I'm fascinated about that too.
Well, every girl sort of ended up on there differently from what I know, but I actually applied for the show while I was drunk. I was with a bunch of girlfriends.
Solid.
Thank you. I make really good decisions when I've been drinking. Don't drink, kids. It's not good for you. You could end up on The Bachelor. So I had been dating a guy for 5 years, was struggling to put myself back out there because the breakup was horrific. Like, neck level bad. Like, he chased me like I was the friggin' Beatles for a year, and then when I finally went back to him and said, all right, we'll give it another shot, he's like, I know, I'm over you now. And I was like, oh good, okay, that's a bit of fun. So I was just like, nah, I'm just gonna focus on my career, and started really building like my filming background, which was awesome, and you know, I was doing quite well. And then I got really drunk with my girlfriends, and they're like, you need to put yourself back out there. And I was like, no, because Tinder's like eating a bag of sand, and I'm really not into it. And they put me on a couple of dating sites, and it was not going well. I just kept meeting either munchkin dudes that were way too short, or weirdo guys that got too intense too quickly. So I was like, nah, it's not for me. And then we got drunk, and they were like, it'd be so funny if you went on The Bachelor. And I was like, okay, I'll apply. And I applied and forgot all about it. And then when I got a call from them saying, we want you to come in for the castings, I actually said to the lady, I was like, what do you mean? Like, who is this? And I thought that they were trying to sell me something. And then I finally clicked, oh, yeah, that's right. I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's all about the year of love and stuff.
Oh, well. Well, look,
I love that story.
As Warwick said, it's all part of the journey, half pint.
100%.
And look at you now.
Oh, yeah, totally. And it's funny, man. Like, just before we go, because I know you guys got other stuff to do and I need to shut my mouth, you were asking about like that pinpoint moment of when
I got the friend zoning.
It's funny, man. When we finally went on that first date that I designed for him, I actually asked him off camera. I haven't actually spoken about this before. Off camera, I said to him, I was like, oh, this has been a really amazing day. And he was like, yeah, it has been. And we were just sort of like looking at each other, and he goes, what? And I'm like, I need to ask you something, and I feel like I'm going to really hate the answer. And he goes, just ask. He's like, I'll be honest with you every time. And I was like, okay. And we were really connecting. And I go, have you kissed anyone else? And he goes, do you really want me to answer that? And I'm like, yeah, I need to hear the answer because it means a lot to me. And he goes, yeah, I've already kissed someone else. And I go, was it Snejana? And he goes, yep. And I'm like, okay.
And
he goes to me, have I ruined this? And I'm like, yeah, it's not good, mate. It's not good. And he's like, why? And I go, because you couldn't even wait for our date. you know? Like, if you just waited, I wouldn't have cared so much. But the fact that you couldn't even wait for our first date, I'm absolutely gutted. And he was like, well, it's not that big a deal. And I'm like, it is to me. And he was like, okay. And he was really respectful and he really understood that. But from then on, I just couldn't – I couldn't make a comeback. I felt like – he just kind of already picked someone and it was really awkward and it didn't matter what I did. I just couldn't get it out of my head. You know what I mean? Mm. And I think that's where I actually feel like sometimes maybe I friend zoned myself. I don't think he actively tried to friend zone me because he was interested. I just kind of...
Oh, he definitely was interesting, but I think you're intuitive enough to perhaps have seen the writing on the wall in that very subtle way, that very subtle sign that I think a lot of us...
Probably a bit like Tennille in this season's Bachelor, where she's can we just call it now?
Yeah.
Oh, she knew straight away.
I love talking to you. You've been amazing.
Well, quickly, who are you watching this season?
Yes, I am.
Who's your pick to take it out?
I've got a feeling it will be Brittany. My theory is Cass will make it to home visits. They'll probably keep – they'll want to keep her for the top two because she'll have the best reaction if she doesn't get picked, which I hate to say this, Cass. I know. I love Cass so much. She's so beautiful, but she's going to get her heart so badly broken. I just want to cuddle her already.
Yeah, so do we.
Yeah.
We're trying to make that happen.
Yeah, we reckon it'll be Cass, Britt and Brooke. Possibly Dasher for hometowns. There you go.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. I'm thinking it'll be Sophie, Brittany, Brooke and Cass for the top four.
Yeah, nice. Solid top four.
Well, you heard it here first with Heather. Thank you so much for chatting with us, Heather. And giving us, casting your mind back into that historical period
and
in your life.
And being so honest about it. Being so honest with us. Thank you.
Thanks, lovely ladies. Look after yourselves.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Peace out.
Bye.
Okay, we're emerging from the... We're emerging from the den. We've gone deep with Heather Maltman. Our heads are surfacing.
Oh, I'm shaking off the dirt. We're like moles seeing the sunlight. Oh, here we are.
Out of the badger's den. Getting ready for next week when we're back recapping live. Right now we're still on holidays.
And we just can't be asked recapping the next two episodes.
We'll be watching it. We'll be there in spirit, but
just
not
have to
on the
think
mics.
About what we'd think.
Sozzles.
Bye.
Can't get enough of those two girls. Download the Catch Up now on the Hit app and keep up with the girls on Facebook and Instagram.
Tickety boo, off she goes home.